what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Hey everybody, this is Eric Mann, 90.7 KPFK FM. I'm with here with my co-host Manuel Criollo. It's the 4 o'clock hour. We call our segment of it Voices from the Frontlines. We've had already some incredible voices from the front lines, and I'm here with Jazz Hayden in New York City. And Jazz, I don't know if you heard the end of Kilo Nyasha, who's working to get out Hugo Pinnell from prison out of the San Quentin 6 case. And here you are, a former prisoner who's trying to play a very leadership role in the prison movement in another oppressed colony called New York City. How's it going?
Well, we're making progress, but like all nascent movements, we have one foot forward, two backwards, and we got our issues.
Well, one of the things that's good is that we have our issues, which, and you're very forthcoming that you want to talk about some of the contradictions within the prisoner and ex-prisoners movement. Tell us first, though, the specific fight on the New York City, you know, the New York City and New York State Right to Vote Coalition, and the whole question of, quote, ex-offenders and felony disenfranchisement, basically getting black and Latino people in particular their votes back after they get out of prison. Tell us a little about it, and then we'll get into some of the problems that that movement faces internally.
Okay. Well, the right to vote in a democracy, opposition is the right to vote should be fundamental. You know, shouldn't even be a question. It's not a privilege. Supreme Court in Canada last year ruled in a case called Salve versus Canada that that voting was a right. It wasn't a privilege. You know, and prisoners had sued for the right to vote, and the Supreme Court ruled in their behalf and disposed of all the arguments that were made, and most of them were philosophical arguments and driven more by politics and discrimination than anything else. And the court ruled that in behalf of the prisoners, so that now in this whole nation, whose borders are contiguous with the United States and whose system of governance practically mirrors the system we have here in the United States, has ruled that prisoners, that the right to vote can't be taken. You know, it's not some greasy politician after getting elected to office can all of a sudden decide that he wants to, you know, single out a specific group of citizens and say that they no longer have the right to vote. So now we have prisoners in Canada, this whole nation, next door to us, where prisoners vote from their cells. It makes no difference what the crime is that they committed. And the same crimes that prisoners in the United States commit and can't vote, prisoners next door can.
Yeah, but
another major contradiction is that right here in the United States, in the states of Maine and Vermont, prisoners are allowed to vote from their cells, never lose their right to vote. You know? So it's a fundamental issue, and the impact of the laws denying people convicted of felonies the right to vote fall disproportionately on African Americans and Latinos, and tend to frustrate what has been a struggle for African Americans in this country from the time that they arrived here on prison ships and all the way through slavery, apartheid, you know, racism, ghettoization, and into this massive incarceration prison punishment system. You know, it's been a continuous struggle, man, for empowerment and at every step of the way.
Jazz, let me interrupt for a second here. Because I think you and I agree on that. We could say to the north of us, people have the right to vote in prison, and to the south of us in Cuba, people have free health care. But that doesn't help us in the United States, which is such a reactionary country. As you know, they're not very impressed by other people's humanitarianism. Tell us a little bit about the movement in New York. What's it going to take? What are the rules in New York right now?
Well, first of all, in New York, if you are convicted of a felony and you're set behind the wall and you lose your right to vote, you know, if you're in prison or on parole, if you get convicted of a felony and you get probation or some other kind of non-incarcerative sentence, you maintain your right to vote. So the only difference between two people can commit the same crime and get convicted of the same crime, one could get sentenced to probation and one could get sentenced to a prison sentence, and the one sentenced to the prison sentence would lose his right to vote, even though they are equally culpable in the crime. You know, so, I mean, this is so bizarre. It's so capricious and, you know, it's pure, you know, for lack of a better word, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, it's pure bullshit. You know?
Well, the thing is, having said that, is what is the goal of your group to try, in other words, what are your objectives in terms of your organizing work?
Well, we moving on two fronts to deal with this issue. One, I filed a class action lawsuit in 2000 challenging the statute denying us the right to vote, you know, because the vast majority of prisoners in New York State are African Americans and Latinos. You know, over 85% of the prisoners in New York State are either African American or Latino, 57%, 51, 52% African Americans, and maybe 35, 36%. Are Latino, and they come from seven specific neighborhoods in New York City. You know, so you know, in order to lose your right to vote, you have to be convicted of a felony, you have to be sentenced to prison. So, just on those numbers alone, you can see the disproportionate impact of felon disenfranchisement laws. Well, I've challenged them through a class action suit, picking up the gauntlet, better still, following in the footsteps of prisoners in Tennessee and an earlier case in New York where they challenged felony disenfranchisement. And presently we got a class action lawsuit working its way through the courts. And the three plaintiff classes in this suit are prisoners, parolees, and the community members of the communities that they come from. And prisoners and parolees are claiming vote denial. And the communities that we come from, their complaint is that their voting power has been diluted as a result of us, them stripping us of our right to vote. Right? So that's on the legal front. In the streets, while this case is working its way through court, we also have a campaign, which we recently named Unlock the Block, Release the Vote campaign, challenges the obstacles that remain in place that kind of frustrate people that have completed their sentence and no longer in prison or on parole. And obstacles have been put in their way, institutional obstacles were put in their way to frustrate their attempt to register and regain their political rights. See, at no point in the criminal justice system have they ever been informed that they lost their right to vote, and at no point and their return are they informed how the fact that their right to vote is automatically restored to them upon completion of their sentence. So we have, you know, thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of people in New York City that are not even aware that they have the right to vote, you know, because of misinformation, you know, and lack of information. They fail to exercise the right to vote. So what we tried to do is remove all the institutional barriers to their right, to them having the right to vote, and we've been very successful with that. We've recently had the State Board of Elections issue an order to 58 local boards of elections that they should ask no questions of former prisoners that come to register to vote that they don't ask of every other ordinary citizen, because prisoners are citizens. This is one thing they don't lose. You know, when you go to prison, you don't lose your citizenship. You lose your freedom. You know, you lose your liberty. Some of your rights are attenuated, but you do not lose your citizenship. You know?
In the last 2 minutes, we got Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
It moves fast.
Yeah.
Tell us that one of the dilemmas is that the Democratic Party supports this because, in a veiled way, they want more in black Latino votes. But the Democratic Party doesn't really fight for prisoners' rights. Republican Party generally doesn't want this because they assume that ex-prisoners or ex-quote felons are predominantly black and Latino, therefore predominantly Democrat. How do you navigate the politics of building a social movement and trying to get the two-party system to care about prisoners who they put in prison in the first place?
Well, Eric, man, I'm not even going to pretend to take you serious on this here, man, because there is no such thing as a two-party system in this country, man. You know, we got Tweedledee, Tweedledum, two heads on the same body, good cop, bad cop, you know, however you want to frame it, you know. Their interests are essentially the same, you know. And politicians, whether they be conservatives or liberals or, you know, even minority politicians, you know, the last thing they want is a block of new voters that they have no control over coming into the political process, right? And so we don't find any support, not even among the politicians, man, that represent our communities. We don't hear them out shouting and pouting and talking about restore these rights, these votes back, you know, to our communities. You know, it's essentially, this has really turned out to be a real grassroots movement that generally has to, and for most parts, all I've found up until now is politicians paying lip service. You know, during their campaigns, they will say some things, but nobody's taking any affirmative steps to overturn the felon disenfranchisement statutes in this country.
Well, Jazz, I know it went a lot faster than we thought, since we could have had, you know, a whole day together. How do we reach you in New York? And tell us about the, you know, not tell it, just tell us the name of your group again. Any websites or phone numbers?
Okay. Well, I guess I can be located at Demos. You can locate me on the internet. Our website is demos-usa.org. The name of our campaign, well, if you go to the website, you'll find out everything you need to know about the campaign. We can also be reached at 212-633-1405. And the name of the New York campaign is Unlock the Block, Release the Vote. But it's part of a national campaign, and we got campaigns going in Texas, Alabama, Florida, Maryland, and New York, and we hope to expand it to all the 48 states that where prisoners are denied the right to vote.
Thanks, Jazz. I got to go. It's been great to have you on the show.
Oh, Eric, man, we got to do this again, man.
We will.
Give us some time next time.
I promise, brother.
Okay.
All right. Now, first of all, we want to... Everybody go out and see the Battle of Algiers on January 10th, an amazing film. We want to thank the guests we had today. We want to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, Maggie LaPeak, who did the engineering work and technical assistance, from Lisa Erickson and Robert McDaniel. As you know, this is a pilot show, which we hope you like, and we call it Voices from the Frontlines, and we hope you write to us at comments@kpfk.org, and stay tuned for the fabulous Susie Wiseman on Beneath the Surface. Thanks for listening.